Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Paul and Barnabas are on the first missionary journey. They had been already in Cyprus, Perga and Pamphylia, and Antioch of Pisidia. In Antioch of Pisidia, the Apostle Paul preached a vigorous sermon announcing forgiveness of sins and salvation in Jesus Christ. Many Gentiles believed in Jesus and rejoiced greatly. Meanwhile, the word of God spread through the whole region. However, some Jews stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. What happened next? If you have a copy of the Bible at hand, please open at the book of Acts, chapter 14. There, in chapter 14, verses 1 to 7, we read the following. Now at Iconium they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews, with their rulers, to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, and there they continued to preach the gospel. Paul and Barnabas arrived in Iconium. Iconium is modern Konya, Turkey. It was an important crossroads and agricultural center in the central plain of the province of Galatia. Again, Paul and Barnabas employed the same missionary strategy. They went to the Jewish synagogue to start their work. They announced the gospel in the synagogue, and great number of both Jews and Greeks came to faith in Jesus Christ. The preaching of the word of God was successful. However, on every occasion when God's work flourishes, opposition and enmity arise. Unbelieving Jews stirred up non-Jews and filled their minds with evil thoughts against the believers. Although this attitude was hindering, Paul and Barnabas persisted doing their job and proclaimed the Savior Jesus Christ and his love toward sinners. The opposition on the part of some Jews who stirred up the Gentiles failed in the initial attempt, for Paul and Barnabas remained in Iconium a considerable time. But then a second wave of persecution was planned, involving violence. The apostles spoke boldly for the Lord, and the Lord bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by the hands of the apostles. A major purpose of granting signs and miracles was to confirm the truth of the words and express the approval of God. On account of the apostles' ministry, the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. The same thing continues to happen today. The word of God divides the crowds. Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Some Jews, Gentiles, and leaders agreed on a plot to mistreat and stone Barnabas and Paul. Stoning was a Jewish mode of execution for blasphemy. Probably mob action was planned on the occasion. God, however, assisted his apostles and made them find out what was going on behind the scenes. So the apostles fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia and surrounding country. Lycaonia was a district east of Pisidia, being part of the Roman province of Galatia. Lystra was a Roman colony about 20 miles from Iconium and 130 miles from Antioch. Derbe was about 60 miles from Lystra. The apostles preached in the region the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. In our days, God continues to send out His messengers to proclaim the gospel. Missionaries, evangelists, pastors, teachers, deacons, and deaconesses are the laborers who sow the good seed of the gospel. To use the language employed by Jesus in a parable, some seed falls along the path, and the birds come and eat it up, which means that some people hear the word of God, but Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Some seed falls on rocky places with little soil, where it springs up quickly, but it does not endure the heat of the sun. So it happens with people who hear the word of God and receive it with joy. But when trouble and persecution come, they quickly fall away. Some seed falls among thorns, and the thorns choke the plants and they bear no fruit. So it is with people who hear the word of God, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things choke the word, making it unfruitful. However, some seed falls on fertile soil. It comes up, grows, and produces a great crop. So it is with people who hear the word of God, accept it, and it produces a rich harvest. Paul and Barnabas experienced in practice what Jesus meant. The same can be said by God's messengers and faithful churches today. For one thing, the message of grace encounters opposition. On the other hand, the word of grace always produces results. It is our task to persist and sow the good seed. Paul and Barnabas are now in Lystra. What happened there? The book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 8 to 13, give account of the following. Now in Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking. And Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. The life of the crippled man must have been hard. Since he was disabled from birth, he had never experienced the facility and the enjoyment of moving about as and when it would have pleased him. How did he move from one place to another? Depending on others, or dragging himself with the support of his arms, probably. However, this man was given the opportunity to listen to the message announced by Paul, and he listened with interest. The Holy Spirit produced faith in his heart. So Paul looked at the man carefully, and knowing he had faith to be made well, ordered him to stand upright on his feet. What happened? The crippled man sprang up and began walking. There was no magic behind this. It was a wonder God performed through the Apostle Paul. Can we imagine what this wonder meant for that man? First of all, he got the attention of Paul. He must have been used to see people passing by, but rarely anybody looking at him. Paul nonetheless connected to the man looking intently at him. Secondly, it must have been an immense surprise of being made well instantly by the power of God. All this obviously changed completely the life of the man. The crowd that witnessed the wonder was amazed and expressed their pagan beliefs, saying concerning Paul and Barnabas, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus. Zeus was the patron god of the city, and his temple was there in Lystra. People who came to bring sacrifices to Zeus apparently decided to make an offering to Paul and Barnabas instead. The identification of Zeus with Barnabas may indicate that his appearance was more imposing than Paul's. Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. Hermes was another Greek deity believed in. He was thought of serving as spokesman for the other gods. The more important god, Zeus, was thought to work through a spokesman, Hermes. This belief may have originated by an ancient legend that told of a supposed visit to the same general area by Zeus and Hermes. However, they were not recognized by anyone except an old couple. Now the people of Lystra were determined not to allow such an oversight to happen again.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere, and newcomers are always welcome.
How did Paul and Barnabas react to the acclamation of the crowd? The answer is given in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 14 to 18. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. If Paul and Barnabas were self-centered and seekers of fame, that would have been the right moment to become celebrities. However, that was not their purpose, so they did not accept any homage and worship. On the contrary, they reacted strongly against the intention of the crowd and tore their garments. Tearing the garments was a Jewish expression of great anguish. Paul and Barnabas put things immediately in the right place, giving out their real identity, saying, "We also are men, of like nature with you. There is nothing to be worshipped in us," they said. Then the apostles announced clearly the purpose of their ministry, namely, to bring good news. Through the good news announced by Paul and Barnabas, God intended to turn the people from their pagan beliefs to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Rather than worshipping creatures, the Creator shall be worshipped and acknowledged as the Lord who made everything. He gave testimony of himself in his creation and his acts of kindness, providing for the needs of all creatures. In spite of Paul and Barnabas clarifying matters and directing the people to the true and only God, the people were reluctant to abandon their efforts to offer sacrifices to the apostles. Sadly, nowadays there are preachers and evangelists who seek their own glory and the applause of the crowds. by making all kinds of promises which God doesn't make, saying that people will prosper in their life if they do this or that, many poor souls are deceived. They put their trust in these false preachers, pay homage to them, even money, instead of being guided to Jesus Christ, who loves sinners and wants to rescue them from the misery of sin and evil. In contrast to self-centered and self-honor-seeking preachers, the Apostle Paul declared in his writings to the Christians of Corinth, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." To proclaim Jesus, who was crucified for the salvation of sinners, is the ultimate purpose of faithful messengers of God. Take this into account, my dear friend, whenever you listen to a preacher. Paul and Barnabas had the crowd on their side, but a wave of trouble was coming towards them. We read in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. Opposition and violent persecution arose again. Some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, sought and received support from the crowds. History shows that once leaders win the support of the crowds, anything can happen. In the present case, the fury was at such a stake that Paul was stoned and dragged out of the city. It seemed that he had been stoned to death. God, nonetheless, looked after his servant. Friends surrounded him and certainly helped him. Paul recovered and went back into the city. Guided by God, the next day he and Barnabas gave sequence of their missionary journey and went to Derbe. Let us journey with Paul and Barnabas and find out the further developments. Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 23 report the following. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. In Derbe, the work of the apostles flourished, for a large number of people came to believe in Christ. Then the apostles revisited places where they had been before, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia. The recently converted Christians needed to be strengthened in their faith and encouraged to continue steadfast, particularly because of the challenging conditions they were living in. Like a tender plant needs to be nourished and carefully looked after, so also believers need to be constantly nourished with the Word of God. Not only the apostles, but Christians in general were constantly under threat. The apostles reminded the Christians that their lives are not free from suffering, rather through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Jesus never promised to his followers a life free of hardship, pain, and opposition. On the contrary, he summons his followers to take up their cross and follow him. Pressure, hardship, and opposition are to be expected by God's people while they journey to their final destination in heaven. This journey under the cross and carrying the cross, however, is not a journey to be done with our own resources and relying on our own strength. No, Christ followed already ahead of us, opened the way, and now he comes to walk side by side with us. He lifts us up when we fall, energizes us when we fade, inspires us with hope when the outlook seems bleak for us. After all, Jesus promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. Paul and Barnabas would move on their journey. Consequently, there was a need for leadership in the places where they had been. So they appointed elders in every church and committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Because these were new churches, at least partly pagan in background, Paul and Barnabas may have both selected and appointed the elders. They would be the spiritual leaders in charge to providing nourishment for the believers. From Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, Paul and Barnabas went on to other places, as we are told in Acts chapter 14, verses 24 to 28. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. Pisidia was a region frequented by bandits, which made the journey of Paul and Barnabas dangerous. From Pisidia, they went to Pamphylia, Perga, and Attalia. While traveling, the apostles preached the gospel. Eventually, they sailed to Antioch in Syria, a city where the first missionary journey started, whose congregation had sent them out. Back home, the apostles gathered the church together and reported all that God had done with them. They emphasized how God opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. God had brought Gentiles to faith. He opened the door for them to believe. Barnabas and Paul stayed in Antioch a long time with the disciples, probably more than a year. In all we have reflected upon in this study, we notice that God purposes to bring the gospel of salvation in Christ to every place in the world. For this reason, he sends out messengers to proclaim the good news. We who have and are benefiting from the work of God's messengers are called to support them with our prayers, our offerings, and our work. The task of preaching the gospel is challenging because the sinful nature in people considers the gospel foolish and opposes it and its messengers, sometimes with violence. However, the gospel always bears fruit, leading people to faith in Jesus Christ and nourishing those who already believe. The Apostle Paul encourages us in this respect, saying, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain."
The study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.